You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops. We bring you the best of Israeli basketball, all the way up north to Nahariya, down south to Atlanta, all the great cities between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a five-star rating, write us a nice review. Check us out on social media at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver it to you in both, and there is tons of content on the Sports Rabbi website as we head into the EuroLeague playoffs. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Panathinaikos. We have an interview up with James Webb, so make sure you check that out. Of course, James Webb could be a big X factor for Maccabi Tel Aviv in this series. We also have some previews. Vasiliki Karamusa from Sport 24 in Greece speaks to our writer Nate Dror, who is on site in Athens. He's going to have all kinds of reports. You can check that out on all the social media networks. He'll be at the Panathinaikos practice as well. Heading towards the series. So there's going to be tons and tons and tons of content. You want to listen to Richard Hendricks relive the 2012 series with the Sports Rabbi, where Maccabi Tel Aviv fought Panathinaikos in a classic five-game series. Coming up a little short, Richard Hendricks comes on with us for about an hour to talk about that series. Also, the 2011 finals. In the Final Four, that Maccabi just came up a little bit too short. Richard Hendricks joins the Sports Rabbi. We talk all about that. So there's tons and tons and tons of content. And right now we're going to go into a preview of all four EuroLeague series. And to do that, I bring on my good friend, confidant, expert in European basketball. It is none other than Lucas Feldos coming to us out of Germany. How are you doing today, Lucas? What's going on?
I'm fine. Thanks for the nice introduction. Happy to be back on your show.
All right, we have some great stuff going on. Of course, we have four series: Maccabi Tel Aviv, Panathinaikos, Barcelona, Olympiacos, Monaco, Fenerbahce, Real Madrid, Baskonia. Of course, Baskonia was the last team into the playoffs through the play-in. They had lost to Maccabi, but then they come up big against Bologna and they punch their ticket to the 1-8 series. Well, we got to start off, of course, first and foremost with the Maccabi Panathinaikos series, as most people that are listening to this podcast will be, very primarily interested in that one, and so are we. So, Lucas, Maccabi, the 7 seed, Panathinaikos, the 2 seed. Maccabi beats Panathinaikos both regular season games this season. However, the first game was kind of odd in the situation where the game was in Greece, in Athens. Maccabi was coming off, of course, the attacks on October 7th. They had played a game in Valencia that they lost, where they kind of were ghosts walking around the court. Panathinaikos, John DiBartolomeo has a huge game. Panathinaikos comes back. They end up going to overtime. Maccabi wins. And then again, they play in Belgrade in an empty arena in January, a game that the Sports Rabbi and Moshe Halichman were at. However, there is no Kostas Lucas and no Luka Vildoza, no point guard. So after the game, Maccabi Tel Aviv wins by about 15. After the game, Ergun Ataman sits there, talks for about 2 minutes about how, this can't look at this game at all because there's no point guards. He looks, do you have any questions? I was like, no, not really. Because, what are you going to ask him when you don't have your point guards playing? Of course, Kendrick Nunn had a good game, but he ended up leaving a little early with an injury. However, they have a full squad going in now. Lucas, what do you make of this series?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, also interesting what you already mentioned, that Maccabi won both games, but in both games, Panathinaikos was a bit shorthanded. In the first game, also, Kendrick Nunn was not there, and I think Lucas missed that game too because he was injured at the beginning of the season. It's interesting because you have very good individual players on both squads, like Wade Baldwin, Kendrick Nunn, Kostas Lucas, Lorenzo Brown, who's maybe back in his best shape, and also Jerian Grant. So it's very interesting because in this series you have some of the best guards in Europe. some of the best playmakers. I think Panathinaikos is the favorite because they have home court advantage. They are a very good home court, home team. And I think, yeah, I trust in them because they have been very good in the second round of the season. They were the best team along Piraeus and Monaco. I think it could be a very tough and close series. I would guess 3-2 for Panathinaikos, but yeah, could go either way. What do you think?
No, I mean, listen, it's going to be a tight series. The bottom line is that Maccabi Tel Aviv has Wade Baldwin, and they have Lorenzo Brown, who, you know, we've spoken about this so many times throughout the year, how Lorenzo has been nursing an injury. He hasn't looked good. He's weak. He's hurt. He's injured. And then all of a sudden, he comes into that play-in game like at 100%. And he kind of, during the week before when Maccabi had a league game, he was the MVP of that game, and he spoke afterwards and said, you know, I'm finally feeling good. And we saw that. So Lorenzo's going to be a huge key to this game, no matter what. Wade Baldwin is, you know, one of the best players in the EuroLeague, hands down. So you have two of the, you know, best EuroLeague players on the Maccabi Tel Aviv squad, which gives them a lot. You look at the other pieces that Maccabi has, and Bonzi Colson's, you know, had a very good season. Josh Nebo's had a superstar season for Maccabi Tel Aviv. It seems the bench players have finally found their role. Oded Kataş has really, you know, over the last couple months, figured out how to run with this team properly. And he knows exactly where he's going to make his substitutions. Jake Cohen back in the starting lineup, as he was for the majority of last season, is key. You know, people may look at Jake Cohen, you know, he's going to score 3 points a game, but the first 5 minutes of the game sometimes dictates the rest of the game and sets the tone. And his intelligence level on the court is bar none, probably one of the top in the continent of Europe. You know, he can hit his outside shot. You have a player like John DiBartolomeo coming off the bench. Now, he is coming off an injury, so we're not 100% sure as to how he's going to play. Tamir Blatt has been very good this season for Maccabi. Antonius Cleveland finally found his spot. Took a number of months. The same thing with James Webb. It took them time. At part of the reason, and we spoke to James Webb about this, and we've spoken to Cleveland about this also, who's a good friend of the Sports Rabbi, that the fact that there were no Israeli League games for the month of October, November, pretty much December because of the war, really hurt those three players, and Jaziel Rivero hurt those three players integrating into the team because they didn't have the minutes that they needed to play. Now, Webb said, it's not a big deal. It wasn't such a big deal. He kind of brushed it off. But let's be honest, Lucas, when you're only playing once a week, you're not playing domestic, you're in a different country, you're in a new team, it's very hard to integrate when you're just practicing, correct?
Yeah, I agree, especially at the start of the season for EuroLeague rookies or guys who are rather new to the EuroLeague. I think it's always good to catch some rhythm in those league games. I think we always talk about the whole the schedule, which is too much, but I think only playing EuroLeague is not enough either. So it's very difficult to say what's the best constellation, but I think that it's always important for players like Antonius Cleveland, but also James Webb, who was new to Maccabi, Jaziel Rivero, to have those games where they can find their rhythm, get some games where they can drop 15 points, 20 points against weaker competition. And I think that's all also important. I agree.
So those are, you know, those are keys. Now, one thing that we should note, Maccabi Tel Aviv finished 20-14. At one point, they were 13-13. And then they went off and they went on a 7-1 run to end the season, which we thought may be good enough to get into the sixth spot. And it still wasn't good enough. Last year, they finished 20-14 and they were in the fifth seed. So they had to play the play-in game, but it was fine. They easily won that game in a walkover. But you're looking at a Maccabi Tel Aviv team here that they didn't really beat any of the top teams over the last 2 months. And that may be a little concerning. Now, if you look at the schedule, the one top team, the one over 500 team that they had to face was Barcelona, and they played really well in that game at Barcelona, and they still lost. So Panathinaikos is a cut above all those other teams that Maccabi beat. So on one hand, it's great that they won those games, and they won the games that they needed to win to get into the playoffs. On the other hand, we haven't really seen them play top competition since, you know, early February. And to me, that's a little bit worrying, Lucas.
Yes. I mean, I was just looking at the stats. They are 4-8 against the top six in the league, and two of the wins were against Panathinaikos. So, yeah, it's a bit worrying. It's a bit worrying, but I think they've been looking good also. Baskonia wasn't a bad team, actually. I mean,
oh, no,
they were solid. Okay, on that night they were, but they were not a terrible game team. And if you look at the game against Barcelona, I think they were pretty solid. They were competing for the win, but of course it makes it a bit more difficult to predict if that's the scale for the series, what they showed against Alba Berlin, Bayern Munich, etc.
We're sort of Lucas Feldos, Josh Allen, Sports Rabbi, talking about the early playoffs, Maccabi Panathinaikos. First up, Oded Kantash, second year with the team, and he made this point, which is true. Maccabi Tel Aviv went through the playoffs last year, so this is the second time through with the core of the squad, which is also an important key. However, and Monaco was in the same case. However, Maccabi does not have home court advantage. And I think you mentioned that earlier. Listen, Panathinaikos is a very good home court team. Both home games are sold out. They sold out in minutes. If 20,000 rabid fans, there's going to be no Maccabi fans in the stands, Panathinaikos and the Greek authorities. You know, there'll probably be a few here or there, maybe 20 or 30 floating around the arena, but nothing more than that. There won't be a stand of, say, 1,000 or 2,000 fans that we would normally see. And Panathinaikos, let's be honest, they have a very good team. You have Kostas Loukas, who is arguably one of the best guards in the game. Luka Vildoza, though he has not really found his spot, can still be very dangerous. Jerian Grant, very good. Kendrick Nunn has been probably the best newcomer in the EuroLeague this season, without hands down. Maris Grigonis is going to give you serious minutes. Papapetro, another player that hasn't really, I don't know, hasn't found his stride, but again, super dangerous. Konstantinos Mitologu, always dangerous. And then, you know, Matthias Lasort is going to be key. And Ergin Ataman is a two-time EuroLeague championship. He may say he's a three-time EuroLeague champion, but in the record books, it will say that he won two and the COVID season didn't count. But listen, Panathinaikos Lucas is a very, very strong team. And the matchup is going to be very tight. There's going to be, you know, there. Maccabi Tel Aviv's not coming in for a cakewalk here. This is going to be a very tough
no.
bow team.
Definitely not a cakewalk. I mean, you already mentioned it. They have a very strong core. In terms of Vildoza and Papapetro, I think it has to be mentioned they were dealing with injury problems. Vildoza had that his meniscus torn in January, and he had some games, I think, in March where he was also missing due to knee injury, knee problems. And Papapetro had early in the season also a knee surgery and missed like 3 months. And they never really found their rhythm, but still they have a very good core. Mitoglou is one of the biggest surprises to me in this EuroLeague season because he was a role player with Milan and also when he was with Panathinaikos 2 or 3 years ago, and he had that doping ban for 15 months, I think, and he was back from it. He came back this season and he's better than ever. The only, I think, really disappointment in my opinion is Juancho Hernan Gomez, who never really found his rhythm. Still, he played a little bit better lately. He played 30 minutes in the league against Piraeus, Olympiacos. And yeah, I think they have a very good core. They were also a little bit lucky they didn't have too many injuries, because this is not a team which is amazing when it comes to depth in comparison to teams like Barcelona, because they, I think in the at the at the seventh spot you have or eighth spot you have Wildoza, who didn't really play well this season, and I think other teams in EuroLeague are deeper in that regard, but Maccabi isn't, so I think that's not a big factor in this series. Would be interesting, for example, at the four position. I think Panathinaikos has a huge advantage on paper with Mitoglou against and Juancho Hernangómez against Cohen Webb, and if he's going to play Sorokin, I think they could have an advantage there. I think one advantage for Maccabi is they're very good when it comes to pacing the game up, and Ataman is more of a coach who likes to control the pace of a game.
Yes, and you know what? Oda Tantosh spoke about that actually. He spoke about that exact point.
Okay.
So,
Interesting, yeah.
no, for sure. Listen, if I'm going to pick a win, I'll just one note about Roman Sorokin. I asked, he is coming off an injury, and I asked about him in the after the last league game. And he said, listen, it just takes time for guys to, when a team is running together, it just takes time for players to go back into the rotation. He compared it to Alex Poitras from last season that came in. I don't really look at that as a comparison because Poitras was out for months. I mean, he was out for half a year. Sorokin was only out a few weeks, maybe a month, well, not longer than that. I don't know if he trusts Sorokin, 100% trusts Sorokin in the big moment in the EuroLeague yet. And we saw that last season in Monaco in game five. He didn't play him. I know that we were pulling out the hair out of our heads sitting in Monaco, like, why aren't you going to put him in? And I just fear that it's going to be the same story again. So it's something to watch how Oded Tatsas is going to manage Roman Sorokin's minutes here. And I think he has to use them because Mitologu has a lot of length. And Sorokin can match up well against him, so
Definitely, yeah.
I would think he's gonna use him, but I'd be very curious to see what he's gonna do with Sorokin. Sorokin's looked very good since he came back for the injury. He didn't play against Baskonia. Oded Tatsas spoke about that. Well, I didn't want to, I didn't put him in. It takes time. Blah blah blah. But that's something to really watch. Now I'm gonna make my picks. I hate to do this because I'm always gonna be wrong. But I'll take Maccabi in five games. Now, I know when's the last time the road game won game five? I don't know if it's ever happened, really. Especially with Maccabi Tel Aviv, it's never happened. So I'll still go with Maccabi in five games, and we'll see what happens. I think that we're going to see a pair of splits, and then game five in Athens, and hopefully Maccabi will pull it out. Let's move over to the
I
next
think,
game. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead,
I
Lucas.
think game five has never been won by the road team
Yeah.
in the EuroLeague series, but of course that's all only a statistic. We know
All
that can happen.
right, let's move on to the next series. Of course, we're under Lucas Heldhaus, Charles Hamilton, Sports Rabbi, Monaco, Fenerbahce. I find this series to be absolutely fascinating.
Definitely.
Fenerbahce hit after Dimitrios Itoudis was jettisoned out and Šaras was brought in. Fenerbahce kind of started coming together a little bit more consistently. They finished the season 20-14. So again, no on the record wise, no better than Maccabi. Monaco finished 23-11. They have home court advantage. And you're looking at the stars here again: Mike James, Jordan Lloyd, Elie Okobo, Kemba Walker. Is going to be there. I don't know how effective he's going to be. John Brown, Alpha Diallo, Donatas Motiejunas, Donta Hall. And of course, Sasha Obradovic, the head coach. These are players that have played together now for a few years. They know each other extremely well. They definitely want to take the next step into trying to make it to the final of the Final Four. Fenerbahce, of course, has a very, very loaded team. You have Scotty Wilbekin, you have Tyler Dorsey, you have Nick Calathes, you have Daishon Pierre, you have Nigel Hayes-Davis, who had how many points a few weeks ago? At 51 points or so?
50, yeah.
50 point. You have Jonathan Motley, Grigorius and Papagiannis. So you have a very, very solid team. Not to mention, of course, Jan Madar, who's really been wiped out of the rotation in the EuroLeague. So I don't expect to see him there. These teams, listen, they're superstars on both sides, Lucas.
Yeah.
It's going to
Yeah,
be
it's interesting
fascinating.
because definitely because you have so much talent in this series, and it's very interesting that in many matchups you see teams which are kind of similar, in my opinion. Also with this Maccabi Panathinaikos series with great guards on both sides and an athletic big man with Lesor and Nebo, and you have a similar constellation here with great ball handlers in this series. It's interesting, and you have this other series, Barcelona against Olympiacos, which are more team-oriented teams. And yeah, that's very interesting that you have so many matchups with teams who are very similar. What do I think? I mean, Fenerbahce has been very good since Saras took over, but Monaco played a very good second round of the season too. They are the best team in the second round of the season with Panathinaikos and Olympiacos, and in terms of the record. And yeah, it's difficult to say, because with Monaco it's always about how they will deal also with adversity if they lose. I think this is still a team with the potential
Fragile.
to have some.
It's fragile.
Yeah, fragile. Definitely. Also with this constellation with James and Okobo, who want to take over. And yeah, there were some conflicts in the past, but in that team, also with Obradovic and James. And I think if Fenerbahce, for example, could steal the first game, I think this is a team I don't believe in to really face that adversity. So it will be very interesting from the first game, in my opinion, and it will be very important for Fenerbahce to steal that.
You know, it's a strange arena. Seats around 4,500 people. I think they got shocked last year when Maccabi Tel Aviv had the first game in Monaco, and the fans were tremendous. And then the PA announcer and the team kind of figured out how to, in game two, how to drown out the Maccabi fans. And there's going to be Fenerbahce fans, so that is going to be a little bit of an advantage. That's a really home court, but then again, Fenerbahce has a very good home court advantage as well. 3-point shooting, you look at Fenerbahce's 3-point shooting, Lucas. I mean, they are just, I mean, it's one stud after the next here. I mean, I don't, you
Yeah.
know, it's like every one of them is like, between Scotty Wilbek and Dorsey, Marco Guduric, it's an onslaught of threes. If I look at the teams, I look at Fenerbahce having more depth over here. I think, as much as I like Monaco, I like them as a team. I saw them up close last year. Very, I was in Monaco twice, saw all three games there. I think Fenerbahce is going to take this series in four games. I think they're going to split, and then they're going to be able to win those two games at home. I just think there's just too much firepower that Fener has. I think that Monaco's just missing a little bit there. What are your thoughts?
I think the big advantage for Monaco is athleticism and size. I think they are a very athletic team also in backcourt with Diallo, Okobo. We will see if Jordan Lloyd will really be healthy. He's been dealing with back issues the whole season, but I think they're the more athletic team. They have advantages when it comes to rebounding. Still, I think that this team is not really, especially offensively, this is not well-rounded, this team, because they play a lot of isolations. They play a lot of one-on-one. They are not the great shooting team. They play with John Brown, the third at the fourth position, who doesn't shoot threes actually. And I think I don't see Fenerbahce getting beaten by, or especially Jasikevičius getting beaten by one-on-one from Mike James. And I think I would also trust more in Fenerbahce, especially also with the experience of multiple players in those games. I think Wolbekin hasn't won a playoff series yet, but still quite experienced, won the Euro Cup. You got Calathes, you have especially the coach is Kvaratskhelia as a player and as a coach. And I would also trust with them. I have them at 2-3, but could be 1-3 as well.
Again, I think it's going to be a fascinating series. Fascinating,
It'd be
really.
interesting if Motley will be fit because he's been dealing with a cough injury lately. He would be a big factor for them, I think.
That's a good point. He may be able to deal with some of the athleticism you were talking about. All right, let's move on to the next series. Another, again, I think a great series, Barcelona Olympiacos. You're looking at these two teams, Barcelona 22 and 12, Olympiacos 22 and 12. Barcelona has the home court advantage in this series. I was at the regular season game in Barcelona between the two teams, which was a great game. It was one thing, it was clear at that time in January, Olympiacos still was not hitting their stride. I got to speak to Coach Bartzokas, not only in the press conference, but afterwards. He spent a lot of time in the hallway talking to the journalists, off the record. And then we spoke for just myself and him spoke for a good 5 minutes. He was asking about the situation in Israel. He wanted to know how things were. I have a relationship with him, obviously, for a number of years. But he mentioned numerous times that his team at that point was still trying to find the right formula. And I guess they found the formula as the season went into the final third. There's still, I think Moses Wright was a huge addition to that team. I think he was definitely a key player in my eyes in helping the squad kind of balance out. And I don't, there's something that's missing with this team, and I can't seem to put my finger on it. They win the big games, they beat Fenerbahce the last game of the season. They have solid players, Thomas Walkup, Nigel Williams-Goss. You know what you're going to get from them. Isaiah Kanaan has had a superb season. You have Mustafa Fall. You know what you're going to get. Costa Papanikolaou. You know what you're going to get. Same thing with Peters, Milutinov, Sikma, McKissick. You kind of know what you're going to get. They play as a team. And I think that is where they're most dangerous. If they can play as a team, they're going to be able to, I would think, go deep into these playoffs. I mean, you look at their, final third of the season, they beat Fenerbahce, they beat Red Star, they beat Partizan, they beat Villarreal. Those games they should win. They lose to Efes. They defeat Panathinaikos. They beat Bologna. They beat Žalgiris. They beat Valencia. They beat Bayern Munich. They beat Alba Berlin. Then they lose to Real Madrid. They beat Maccabi. They lose to Baskonia. So you kind of see they're beating the teams that they need to beat. And you look at a team like Barcelona, who still, under Roger Grimau, is also still trying to find their identity. I know they won 22 games. And I was there at a moment in the season where Grimau was on the hot seat. It wasn't clear if he was going to lose the Derby, and he didn't. He ended up winning that. And if he was going to go into some kind of a further losing streak near the in January, he may have been shown the door. But you have again players like Satoransky, Djoko Baitis, Laprovittola, who's superb. Kalinic, Jabari Parker's been great. He's found his role. Willie Hernangómez has been terrific. Jan Wesley is Jan Wesley, and then they bring in Ricky Rubio, that kind of shakes things up, and they are trying to still now trying to find their stride. I find this to be a very fascinating series. I'm going to take Barcelona in five games just because they have the home court advantage, but I can see Olympiacos winning. I'm not convinced by either team.
Yeah, I have 1-3, so for Olympiacos,
Oh,
because I
really?
think
Okay.
if they can steal one game, I don't think they will lose their home games. But I can see both. I think with all three series, they are very tight. And with this series, it's interesting what you already mentioned, mentioned, they both miss the little extra, in my opinion. They don't have those guys like in other series. In this series, we don't have guys like Mike James, Wade Baldwin, also no Kostas Lucas when it comes to pick and roll
Right.
game. And I think Olympiacos fans who listen to that will now close their window here. And yeah, it's interesting. They are both very good teams. They are strong as a collective, but they don't collectively, but they don't have those players who can really decide games in late clock situations. If there's one, I think it would be La Provitola for Barcelona and Kanan for Piraeus, but it's still those are still not those all-round playmakers who can do it all. And yeah, it's interesting. I think that both teams are playing very well as a team, but I don't trust Barcelona much enough, especially with this last stretch of the season. They
Yeah,
were
they did
still a
not
little
play
bit
well.
fragile. Yeah. And with Rubio, I'm not that sure if he is really a boost to that team because he's already giving them something what they had. He's pretty similar to Satoransky and Jokubaitis, a tall guard who is a good playmaker. And he's not on the level he had before he sat out for almost a year and he had the torn ACL before. Will be very interesting. I go with Olympiacos, especially also with this history. Last season, they were in the Final Four. They were the top seed team and yeah, got beaten in the final. And I could imagine that this team is very, very motivated to go back to the Final Four.
Yeah, listen, we're going to see what's going to happen here. It could go either way. Finally, last but not least, Real Madrid, Baskonia. Listen, Baskonia snuck in. They have some talent. But Real Madrid, you're talking about talent, is loaded with talent. If it's Campazzo, Sergio Rodriguez, Sergio Llull, Fabian Cazorla, Rudy Fernandez, Gabriel Deck, Gershon Yabusele, Mario Hezonja, Zion Moussa. I mean, and then Eddie Tavares, Vincent Poirier. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, you have Marcus Howard on the other side, Vanja Marinkovic, who had a fantastic season, and a few role players, Jimmy Manecka, who's injured. I this has got to be a sweep. I can't see this series going more than 3 games. I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a sweep too. I think with Real, what strikes me a little bit is that they were not that good in the last half of the season, especially after the injury of Tavares, who's been back for some months now, 1 or 2 months, but not in his best shape. But I think that's a little bit natural for Real Madrid. If you look at last season, they didn't have a great end to the EuroLeague regular season either. And the season before, they looked very fragile. Before the playoffs, they got beaten by 20 points or so by Maccabi, and then they played Maccabi in the playoffs, and those were three blowouts for Real. I think this is really a team which can be, especially all those players been with Real before, they can really be ready for those big moments, in my opinion. So I see them sweeping the series too. The only thing which is a little bit dangerous, in my opinion, for them is Marcus Howard, because he's so hot at the moment, especially from three. Although it will be very difficult for Howard to defend in this series too. And I think, yeah, he could hurt them a little bit because Real Madrid likes to play that drop defense with those bigs who stand in the paint. And if they get Howard open, also Marinkovic off screens or in pick and roll, I think there could be some open shots for them, and they have to hit them. But still, I don't see Baskonia defend Real, so it could be that there will be one or two high scoring games, but Real Madrid will still win them, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see, again, I just don't see this being a competitive series. Unfortunately, they do. I
Efforts
just,
would have been interesting, in my opinion,
yeah,
but
because you have a player like Shane Larkin. I mean, right off the bat,
Clyburn, etc. Many of those players they already played in big games, also with Efes, and but we but they couldn't make it against Bologna, which was the biggest surprise maybe of the whole EuroLeague season to me.
No, for sure. So I mean, I think the only place where we disagree, I think, was Maccabi Tel Aviv series and the Barcelona series. But I
That's
think,
still two or four.
yeah, which is 50%. So it's,
Yeah.
which is good. That's
No
good.
question. Yeah.
So I think that's
Wouldn't be
good.
surprised either way. Yeah.
I mean, I went with maybe I'm a little bit of a homer going with Maccabi Tel Aviv. So yeah, I get points for
You
that.
gotta be, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's going to be fun. I think
Hope
it's
is
going to be
always
great.
important.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Where can people reach out to you, Lucas? Where can they find you?
Whether Feuer, I have to spell it now for the 10,000th time, I think, but VELCHENFEUER. Slow the tape down if it was too fast.
I'll have it linked anyways in the body of the podcast. You can click on
Perfect.
Lucas's name and you'll head right to his Twitter. Of course, me, the
Perfect.
sports rabbi, Josh Hallickman. Check us out at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver to you both. We are all over the Maccabi Tel Aviv Panathinaikos series. We have our correspondent, Nate Dror, who wrote for our Hebrew website all season long, doing analysis of Maccabi Tel Aviv's EuroLeague games. So he is on site in Athens. He will be on site in Belgrade. Looking forward to all of his reports, and he'll have stuff. He's already stuff already up in Hebrew, and there'll be stuff coming up in English that he has already worked on coming up soon. Lucas Feldhaus, an honor and a pleasure. We'll speak to you very soon.